The topic for this quarter hour is government advocacy, and we're pleased to welcome U.S. Senator James Imhoff from Oklahoma. He, of course, is the gentleman responsible for the Pilot's Bill of Rights, which is sitting on the president's desk right now. Senator Imhoff is one of the few active pilots in Congress. He's logged over 11,000 flight hours. He's a certified flight instructor. We'll talk about a couple of his star pupils here in a few minutes. He is the only member of Congress to fly an airplane around the world. The Pilot's Bill of Rights, which he sponsored, recently passed both the House and the Senate. In fact, this week it passed the House and has made it to the president's desk. Senator Imhoff has been married for 53 years to his wife, Kay. Together, they have 20 children and grandchildren, and his two sons, who have flown with him to Oshkosh every year for the last 33 consecutive years, are both here. He had to fly commercial. They did not. We'll talk about how they got here in a couple minutes. Senator Inhofe, thank you so much for visiting with us today.
Well, it's really my honor to be here. We just did our interview that Roscoe and I have done for about 30 years down there over the on runway 36. So I kind of miss him. He was someone who's been there for a long time doing it, and he's got some health problems now, and I'm looking forward to talking to him. It's always great to be here. You know, we're all busy. I look at my kids. One's a businessman. One's a hand surgeon. And I'm a member of the United States Senate. But nothing will ever keep us from being at Oshkosh during Oshkosh, the Oshkosh week.
Well, that's great. Now, your sons, you told me earlier, are a couple of people that you taught how to fly.
Oh, yeah. I always say they're great pilots because I was their instructor. But that was many years ago. You got to keep in mind that we're talking about... 33 years ago, they would have been just old enough. They were just learning to fly at that time. And they always come up with me. And they've got kids now. And those kids are, oh, gosh, they're all starting to fly, too. So now the grandkids are starting to do it. And by the way, anyone who wants to see, we always park, and we sleep in tents here, and we always park in the same place. It's way up there on runway 27, right at the corner of where the warbirds start, at the corner from the west side. And so we have my prize ship right now happens to be a Harman rocket. It's a bright orange one, and I've owned over 100 airplanes, but this is one that is perhaps the most fun of any plane I've owned.
What a treat. Now, the what's newsworthy this week, of course, is that the Pilot's Bill of Rights, which you brought into being a couple of years ago, is now sitting on the president's desk. Kind of a long journey. And one that, in terms of passing both houses of Congress, took the better part of a year.
Well, it did. You know, you remember the astronaut John Glenn?
Yep.
When he retired from the Senate, he was from Ohio, that left me as the last active commercial pilot in the United States Senate. So when there's a complaint, pilots have problems, I'm the guy that they call, and that's the reason that they do. So when people had problems, they would call up, and I'd help them with it. A good example. About 5 years ago, Bob Hoover called me up, and arguably Bob Hoover might be considered the best pilot in the world. He said, Inhofe, I was examined in the field, and they took my license away from me. And I said, what did you do wrong? He said, well, I don't think I did anything wrong, and we talked that through. And so I had to actually pass legislation to get him back in the air.
And when did that happen?
That was about 5 years ago. And so, he'll tell you this story.
So 2008 or so.
Yeah.
Oh, he's told that story.
I know.
It is a fun one to hear.
And so anyway, with that having that happened, that was others find out about it. And so I've always been inundated with calls from people who had been examined in the field. And let me say, first of all, and I have to say, the FAA has some really great people. It's just like when I was mayor of Tulsa, we had a great police force, but there's some people who can't handle that authority. And so Bob, in my opinion, was abused. He was mistreated, and many others are mistreated. And then when it finally happened to me, and it had never happened to me personally until a year ago, October, and that kind of got me thinking, well, I've been helping all these guys, but I never truly realized that their ability to keep their pilot license could be in jeopardy. And even though they didn't do anything wrong. And can I just tell my story real quickly? I'm going to tell it again at 2:30 in the tent and share it with some people. Mm-hmm. I was a builder and developer in South Padre Island, Texas for, about 30 years, I guess. And so the field down there, the identifier is Papa India Lima. It's Cameron County Airport. I was flying five people down in my Cessna 340. It was not an IFR because it was not an IFR day, and I wanted to talk to these guys going down.
So there wasn't a lot of planning or homework that you expected to normally need to do on a day.
No,
where...
but I was using flight following, and of course Corpus Approach handed me off to Valley Approach, and they lined me up with this runway 13 at Cameron County Airport, and they said you're on the 2 mile final to 13, you're cleared to land. And so I landed.
Well, they didn't know it was a closed airport. They didn't tell you it was closed.
They didn't have any idea. This is the problem. This is the reason that the air traffic controllers were behind my bill, because they're put in a very awkward situation. Here's a guy who cleared me to land. He had no way of knowing that there was and there wasn't a NOTAM, by the way. There was not a NOTAM that was published. So anyway, as I landed, I dirtied up the plane enough with five passengers that I couldn't go around. And so it's a 9,000-foot runway. They were working on about 2,000 of the feet on the west end, so I just went over them and landed on the other 7,000 feet. No problem. Well, there was a problem. That is, there was a guy who's the FAO operator who never did like me. He called the FAA, and he called the Washington Post and the New York Times. All of a sudden, I was all over this thing for making an illegal landing. Well,
yeah, and for bouncing over the heads of these guys.
Oh, they were saying all kinds of things. Yeah. Just outrageous lies. There's never any danger to anyone. But nonetheless, there it was. Stories in the Washington Post and the New York Times. Rachel Maddow coming out on her story.
Yeah, so
all of my political enemies were having a heyday.
So did you call your buddy Bob Hoover and say now I understand?
Yeah, I did. I saw him shortly after. Anyway, what happened on that was it took me, and here I am, a United States senator. It took me 4 months to get a voice recording clearing me to land. 4 months. Now, I was redeemed after that, but in the meantime, everyone thought I'd done something wrong. Then it took me a long time to prove that there never was a NOTAM. So that's the reason that we kind of centered in on those issues. I wasn't going to have the medical certification issue in this bill because that didn't affect me. AOPA, however, said that of all the complaints that they have, they hear more about the non-uniformity between medical certification than anything else, about 30% of all their complaint calls. So we put that in there, and that's a part of the bill.
So the Government Accounting Office is now going to have to review the way the FAA's language activities.
It's not just them, the FAA, AOPA, NATA, NADA, the EAA, all of them are going to be around the same table to review and set up a system that will be equitable to everyone.
Now, is this independent and kind of coincidental to the petition to exempt third class medical for recreational flying?
Well, that's going to be included. Everything is going to be included on having to do with medical certification.
Okay.
And the thing is, we have everyone around one table, and this has not happened before. The second thing that is in there that is a no-brainer, and that is, if you have a NOTAM, if you have a NOTAM that's out there, it has to be published in some central location. Now, when we were proving that there was no NOTAM, it took me about a month because I had to go to all kinds of places to find out, no, there was never a NOTAM that was published. Mm-hmm. They came out with one about 2 weeks after the incident. But nonetheless, that was it. But the main thing is this, and I think this is important because any pilot who's listening right now to you and to me has to know and understand that the system that's set up will allow someone in the field to do something, issue some type of a directive without the pilot knowing what the evidence is to be used against him. We specifically said in this legislation that evidence has to be given to the pilot who's subject to any kind of a problem 30 days prior to the time that they come up with a formal ruling on it. Well, and it does a second thing, and that is it allows in the event that it's just flat wrong in the eyes of most fair-minded people, a person can appeal it to the federal district court or the circuit court. Now, it's not going to happen.
It would have been just to an administrative law judge before?
No, before that it would have gone actually to the NTSB. And, of course, that's where the administrative law judge would come in. But they didn't give – it's not an appellate process. They merely ratify what was done by the FAA, and we have all the evidence that they don't really exercise an independent judgment.
Yes.
So it's not like you're appealing something. Now it's actually appealed like it. And, you know, this is the last vestige in our system where you're guilty until proven innocent. Now you're going to be able to get fair treatment under the law. And those who argue, as some did on the floor of the Senate, well, you're going to clog up our court system. No, it's not going to happen. There might be one or two a year. And the reason is, what it will do will allow that examiner in the field who would otherwise be unfairly abusive not to do it, knowing that that could be reviewed by a federal district
court. It becomes a deterrent then.
Yeah. And so that's not going to happen. So that solves those problems. Now, you're going to find out today when you meet at 2:30, a lot of other things should have been in the bill. And I said, no, let's just keep it clean, take care of the worst problems first. Then we can come back and look and say, you know, what else needs to be done.
Yeah.
And can I say something about, if you don't mind, I'm going to mention some names, because while I'm a conservative Republican, I've been ranked as the most conservative Republican in the United States Senate, probably more than anybody else has. It was none other than Harry Reid, the Democrat leader, who helped me get this through, because I had been sitting there for a year and a half. It was sitting in the Commerce Committee. They wouldn't let me have a hearing because they were part of the bureaucracy. When you take on a bureaucracy, and I was taking on the FAA, the NTSB, and the Department of Transportation, that's a tough thing to do. That's heavy lifting. So Harry said, look, you've had this thing for a year and a half. We'll just bypass the committee and bring it up on the floor. And we did that and passed it. So I had.
And what was the vote?
100%. I didn't have one dissenting vote.
No nay votes, no. Both houses.
And I initially had 67 co-sponsors. I ended up with a lot more than that, because once they realized it was going to pass, they all jumped on board. Mm-hmm. They didn't want all these GA pilots out there.
Yeah.
So, but I have to say that the other Democrats, Jerry Costello, Nick Rahal, Mark Begich was a co-sponsor, early co-sponsor. He's a Democrat from Alaska, senator. Joe Manchin, a Democrat senator from West Virginia, and Mark Pryor from Arkansas. But on the Republican side, I have to tell you that Sam Graves, now Sam Graves is always up here with me. They kind of look to Sam and me in the House, the Senate and the House, to kind of be knowledgeable on the various issues that affect general aviation. So Sam is here. He'll be with me at 2:30. He did a great job. John Micah. Lamar Smith is a Republican. He's the chairman of the Judiciary Committee of the House. He was willing, and this is something that is huge. He said, I'll just waive jurisdiction so you can get it done in time for Oshkosh. Now, that's a pretty good deal. Of course, Larry Bouchon and Tom Petri were involved. Those are the Republicans. So I always like to mention their names because, especially I like to say to Harry Reid, because people think, well, wait a minute, as partisan as things are, you'd be the least one you'd expect to help the most conservative member of the Senate.
We need to hear that bipartisanship still works, you know?
And this is the best example.
Yeah.
The other example, actually, is the road bill, the highway bill. Ironically, I was the author of both of them, and I passed them both on the same day, 2 weeks ago, Friday.
My goodness.
Isn't that amazing? So some good things are happening there, and, there are problems out there with aviation that we're going to be continuing to do things. I have to tell you that AOPA and EAA, particularly Kathy Yotis, you know, everyone knows about John Yotis, who's been with the AOPA for many years, but Kathy, his daughter, is a real sharp attorney, and she helped us design this so that it'll take care of the particular problem that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Senator Jim Inhofe, who's, again, at Air Venture 2012 for the... for his 33rd consecutive Oshkosh.
Yeah.
You got a group of kids and grandkids, and you said you're camping up in the North 40 there.
If they want to see the most beautiful Harman rocket in America, come up and take a look at our Harman rocket. They'll
great.
Love it.
Great.
Can I say one more thing?
Okay.
Because I think it's important for the GA community to know how important they are. A lot of people think you have to be a fat cat to own an airplane. You ought to come to Oshkosh and find out. These are real people. They're single-issue people. I can remember in 1994, when we were not making aircraft in America or aircraft parts, and you know why? Because of our tort laws. And I introduced the bill that would, a tort bill, that would put us back into making airplanes.
I didn't know you did that.
I did that. And you know how we were able to do it successfully? Because of all the people you're looking at, you and I are sitting in a booth right now looking at literally thousands of people.
Yeah.
So I introduced the tort reform bill right before Oshkosh in 1994. And of course, it wasn't going to go. We had about seven or eight senators that happened to all be Democrats. No, one Republican and six Democrats who were going to oppose it. So I didn't have the votes to do it. So I just did what we're doing today, and I gave the names of those eight senators, and I said, if you want to make airplanes in America again, you get them to withdraw their opposition. And the GA community started harassing them, and they all went back home and decided they were for the tort reform bill that put America back into making airplanes.
Wow.
So that's how important these guys are.
Well, thanks for your stories and for checking in with us today. It's a neat time to have a friend in Congress and to have so many things happening that are in our benefit. So thank
you.
Well,
it's fun for me. You know, I really enjoy flying, and I've been doing it almost 60 years now. And having all my kids up here with their airplanes and flying around, it's a family affair, and we look forward to meeting everyone who's around.
That's great.
And thanks for all you guys do.
Well, thank you.